A weekend of industrial action across Europe and another week of strikes ahead. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. There's been no rest for industrial unrest in Europe and the UK, where workers at the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency and university staff are all set to strike this week, along with ambulance staff in Northern Ireland. It follows the unrest in Spain, Portugal and France. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco begins this report from Madrid.
Tens of thousands of people have gathered here in the Spanish capital, Madrid, to protest against the regional government's handling of public health care. Now, these protesters accuse the local authorities of not investing enough money in the system and of privatising what is a public service. However, Madrid's not the only part of Spain where there have been protests. Doctors have been striking in several other regions of the country as the health system comes under pressure nationwide.
I'm Alison Roberts in Lisbon, where teachers have come onto the streets in their tens of thousands to press their demands after weeks of school strikes. Like other public employees, they've seen earnings lag the private sector and high inflation hasn't helped. But the focus of this dispute is a demand for the restitution of 6.5 service years taken away during austerity and no longer counted for pay and pensions. The government says it can't afford to meet the demands, but talks continue. Still, further strikes and protests are expected.
Here in France, we're in the middle of a long and very noisy, sporadic campaign of strikes and demonstrations going on for several weeks now. But the issue is not the cost of living or inflation. The issue here is pensions. The government of President Macron has a plan to increase the state pension age, the age at which you can retire, from 62 to 64. And this is bitterly opposed by a large part of the population, and in particular here on the street by the left in all its manifestations, and they're out here demonstrating again this Saturday in the middle of Paris. It's set to continue. The government's holding firm and the unions are saying that they're going to take this further with the plan, their plan, to bring the country to a halt, as they say it, at the beginning of March.
That was BBC correspondent Hugh Schofield reporting from Paris there. Now, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up slightly by 0.25% and the price of oil has eased by about 1%. Both are indicators that investors are looking ahead to inflation data from the UK and the US this week. And in Southeast Asia, the DBS Group, the region's largest lender, is reaping the benefits of rising interest rates and reported a 69% boost to its quarterly profits. To Turkey now, authorities there have started arresting people in response to allegations the earthquake death toll has been made worse because building regulations were not being enforced. The BBC's Caroline Davies has more.
There were 113 arrest warrants, according to the Turkish authorities. 12 people have been taken into custody, according to them, including building contractors, and more arrests are expected. This is already being seen by some as an attempt to potentially divert blame for the disaster, because there's been a lot of criticism about the number of buildings that have collapsed here in Turkey, and that there's been some suggestion this is to do with the fact that there were government policies which included something called so-called amnesties for contractors that allowed them to swerve building regulation to encourage a construction boom.
Caroline Davies there. Back to Pakistan, where bailout talks with the International Monetary Fund ended without agreement last week. They're now expected to resume virtually as the country is desperate for foreign reserves to import essentials. Remittances, a term for cash or goods sent from abroad, are the single largest source of foreign currency for Pakistan ahead of exports. But they've been falling over the last year, as BBC's Nasser Hanif reports.
The State Bank of Pakistan says the amount of remittances the country receives has dropped by nearly a sixth. Just over $2 billion were sent back in November 2022, compared to nearly $2.5 billion the previous year. Workers in Saudi Arabia contributed the most, followed by the UAE, the US, and here in the UK. But inflation is taking its toll.
Oh, it's so frustrating listening to news like this all the time, living on an edge. What's going to happen to Pakistan's economy, whether it's going to go into default? We're worried about our families and people living in Pakistan, really worrying.
Gohar Khan, watching one of the many satellite TV channels that is home in the city of Leeds in the north of England. He says many people send money to help family and friends in Pakistan.
Some people, you know, send it on a weekly basis. Some people send it on a monthly basis. Some people send money, you know, once a year.
He believes British Pakistanis are having to make tough choices because of their finances.
I know somebody who sends money to their sick sister because she's got cancer. They send money on a regular basis. They're not able to send any money anymore for a simple reason, whether to pay energy bills and the cost of living has gone so much.
Bradford, also in northern England, is home to a large number of British Pakistanis. There too, I found similar concerns.
For some of the women that we're currently supporting, their families in Pakistan are only surviving because of the input or support that the mothers here or their families are giving from the UK. My name is Noreen Khan. I'm director of an organisation called NISI, and we support women with children, particularly single mothers, across the Bradford district and nationally.
She says sending less money back to Pakistan can lead to all sorts of wider family problems.
We have had a case where promise of marriage between two families involving one woman who was here, and she wasn't able to send money across to the fiancé's family to help either with his visa or to get the shopping or whatever done, and they broke off the alliance. So we are seeing lots of these kind of situations as well.
UK-based charities also send remittances to Pakistan, particularly in times of crisis like the widespread floods which affected the country in 2022.
So Zain, how's your grandma in Gujranwala? Is she well? Have you sent her any funds or anything recently?
I'm Mohammed Abu Bakr from Smile Aid. What we try to do is install facilities where we have community centres where we can provide food packs that would help them for the whole month, or help them provide jobs in which they could help their own families, and that expands into their neighbourhood.
He says they're having to change their plans because fewer people are donating.
We normally used to do work for the year. Now we're doing it every 6 months and we're waiting for funds to come in. Before, it was a little bit easier.
Mosques often help to raise funds to send to Pakistan. Mohammed Sishan Baloch is an imam in the city of Leeds in northern England. He says he's having to cut back on spending to keep sending money over.
One of the education projects which we have in Pakistan, the cement, the bag which we used to purchase and buy in 550 Pakistani rupees or 600 Pakistani rupees, that is more than 1300 Pakistani rupees. So more than 100% there is the jump in the prices.
With remittances falling, Pakistan's best hope seems to be trying to revive talks with the IMF to get emergency funding for the country. I'm the BBC's Nasser Hanif for Marketplace.
Now that's it from me, Leanna Byrne, your new presenter on Marketplace Morning Report. I hope this is the beginning of a beautiful radio relationship. Thanks for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Make sure to tune in tomorrow.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.